Okay, hi, friends. And I hope that those of you who have been celebrating Thanksgiving, I guess it's particularly an American holiday, but the gratitude aspect enters strongly all over the world. So I hope you had a beautiful time, and also a time of realism, where we realize what Thanksgiving has meant as a day of mourning for the Native American people who were here first. I was reading about that, and it was declared, I don't know, some 51 or 2 years ago as a day of mourning, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. And it hasn't been much better for the black people who were brought as slaves against their will. And though it's always hard to work out the intentions of the Manu. Well, here we are. We've ended program 33. I was not able, because of so many Thanksgiving-related things, to work further yesterday on the 25th, and here it is the 26th, one day later than the Thanksgiving. So we're working in the area called Sources of Impression for the disciple. And let's see if, I'm just trying to make sure that everything is in order, that you can see what you need to see. The little segue from 2 days ago tells us that the Tibetan is talking about what he has talked about, but from a different angle. And he's working with the idea that group possibilities can be very strong in the telepathic work, and that they are proceeding even more rapidly than had been anticipated, more rapidly than individual telepathic possibilities. So he says, look, I am again bringing these things to your attention as aspirants and disciples, but from an angle different to those of my earlier writings. He goes on and says, the responsibility of impressionability, of telepathic registration, and of invocative appeal is very great. And maybe we will begin to gather why it is that this responsibility is so strong. We do have the science of impression. We do have, in general, the telepathic mode of operation. We do have the science of invocation and evocation. We've had several sciences all involved in what has been called the supreme science of contact. So let's see what the Tibetan has in mind here for this program number 34. It starts on page, 86, toward the end. He says, for the aspirant, and particularly for the conscious disciple, the impression to be considered comes from four sources. So this will be, I would say, important. Let's see here. The impression comes from four sources. We are all of us engaged right now with the science of impression. And we're trying to make the transition from this impression simply being a bit of academic knowledge to a higher form of intimacy with it, namely experience, or inperience, to coin a word. So where then does the impression come from, and do we find ourselves truly subject to impression? I imagine this would be a very important question for the students who had been gathered around DK at the periphery of his ashram, and later many of them as accepted disciples. But eventually it will be an important question for all advancing spiritual types. So, from whence come the impressions which we want to render factual and experiential? So, number one, from the disciple's own soul. And let's just say the solar angel has been involved, the angel of the presence, and as I've said before, the currents of inspiration are discussed at the end of A Treatise on White Magic, the first chapter regarding the first rule. Of course, the thing is that when people are inconsistent in their meditation, they may not recognize these streams of uplifting energy. Okay, from where else, then, these impressions? From the ashram with which he is to be affiliated. So it tells us something about the status of the disciple. He's not yet a full member of the ashram. And in the case of Master DK, if the impression comes directly from the disciple's own soul, from the master, it still does not mean that the disciple has been taken in to the ashram as any kind of full member. The preparation is still going on. And finally, beyond that of the impression from the soul, we have impression from the true soul, or spiritual triad, via the Antikarana, and this has been more possible of late, I would say, even since 1925, when certain of the ashrams switched or changed their polarization, changed their focus to a focus within the spiritual triad instead of a focus on the mental plane per se. And this would be especially Buddhic and Atmic foci or focuses in this case. So let's think about this. These are the, let's see here. Yeah. These are the sources from whence impression comes. Now, we could each ask ourselves, do we really sense any of these? I'm remembering the Tibetan through a letter speaking to one of his gathered students, and he said something to the effect of, I know how very tired you have been. And have you sensed, he asks that individual, how I have held you up, how I have strengthened you at such times. Because it is not necessarily a foregone conclusion that the approaching disciple will sense from the master direct intervention. The letters from Alice Bailey, of course, or through Alice Bailey, give the disciple the sense of what the master is thinking regarding that disciple. But maybe as far as direct contact without the intervention of Alice Bailey, maybe that would be a much rarer type of thing. So I think we can see that all of the all of them spiritual, of course, the disciple's own soul suggests a spiritual source. But the ashram, still higher, holding out the promise of true affiliation one day, and the master's direct intervention would indicate that we're dealing at least with an accepted disciple, we're doing that. Okay, friends, just a lot of business going on, so if I interrupted that analysis, I apologize. Sometimes when you do as much computer work as I do, and send to so many people, the computers, they expire. So I'm in the middle of trying to find a computer that will support this kind of work. But anyway, the four sources. So here we are on page 87, and DK elaborates upon them just a little bit. The first two stages cover the first two initiations. That in fact he will be receiving impression from his own soul and from the ashram with which he is to be affiliated. There are some discussions about this very thing in Rule 11 in the rays and the initiations. Now the third, the work directly from the master, the impression from the master, precedes the third initiation and persists until the disciple is himself a master. I think that is of interest. I'm going to try to get this in order of some kind. It's interesting that impression directly from the master was given to a number of the people he had gathered around him, but except for one or two of them, they were not yet initiates of the third degree, and that's basically what it's saying here. The third of these, what is the word that was used? The third of these sources. So I want to make that a little bit larger. The third of the four sources. To receive in that way does not necessarily make you a third degree initiate. So it begins, however, before the third initiation and persists with the master supervising until the disciple is himself a master, and so it goes through the stages of, well, certainly Chela on the thread, and then Chela within the aura, and Chela within the master's heart. It goes through all those stages, and finally the stage of the blending of the lights, where the receiving disciple has truly become the master. Now, so much of this seems very strange to people who are used to thinking even in intelligent conventional terms. They say, well, how can any human being write such things? But the point is that they have no sense of hierarchical progression. Man is simply an advanced type of animal to them, and there is no further elevation through the process of initiation and the general process of obeying the laws of the soul and even of the system. That type of progression is not understandable to even the average, quite intelligent person. In that respect, they are still working within the hall of ignorance, and that involves the third petal of the egoic lotus also, which is ruled by the intelligent sign Virgo, and also by another Mercurian sign, Gemini. If we begin with Aries and proceed through Taurus and then on to the next sign, which is Gemini. So the master has responsibility to the quite high initiate to continue with that initiate until he becomes truly a master. And it has made me wonder, well, you know, I've had my doubts about is the third of the second ray subsidiary ashrams subruled by the third ray? And is that Master DK's domain? But since we are told that five masters work in his ashram, there may be reason to suspect that the second subsidiary ashram is in his charge, and that he has helped along the various other five masters who supervise the Brahmic, the Brahmic sub-ashrams of the second ray ashram. That would mean, we're told, that DK has five masters working in his ashram. So that second subsidiary would be inclusive of a lower five. Well, I just haven't quite figured that one out. Not yet. Now, the fourth of the sources is the fourth type of informative impression can be registered after the third initiation and can reach the disciple in the ashram. Because, after all, having taken the third initiation, he can indeed step beyond the stage of Chela on the thread and can have entered the intra-ashramic stage of Chela within the aura. So, repeating here what DK says, the fourth type of informative impression can be registered after the third initiation and reach the disciple in the ashram. Now, this is from impression from the spiritual triad. He, and I suppose it's the impressed one, if it was the master, probably it would be, well, let's see, but looks like it would be capitalized. He then has the task himself of impressing his mind with what he has been told and known within the ashram. Eventually, as a master of an ashram, he starts upon one of the major hierarchical tasks of mastering the science of impression. Well, we're being told that to master this science of impression, he has to be of the equivalent status of a master. So this fourth type of impression from the spiritual triad via the Antakarana is the bridge also towards mastership. And from what comes here via the Antakarana, he has to make that his own. He has to impress his mind with what has been conveyed to him. Within the ashram. Okay, I'm going to and let's see, hopefully unfortunately I had not turned off the original sound, so probably a bit more of the lung condition was showing through than should have been if that original sound was off. Well, now it is off. So, DK goes on. There are therefore two aspects to this work of impression. One deals with the capacity to be impressed, and the other with the ability to be an impressing agent. I think we can see how important are these two aspects, because we have to carry down, if we're going to help with the plan, the capacity to impress. But there are strictures and limitations surrounding this capacity. So, now probably none of us is really an impressing agent in any full sense at this time. We can convey certain knowledges and experiences, perhaps. We can help people who are, and groups who are not yet as far along with the ability to cooperate with the divine plan. But there are strictures and laws involved here that cannot be transgressed. So and here it tells about it. The disciple is not permitted to practice the art of impressing until he himself is among those who receive triadal impression, and therefore impression from Shambhala. We've examined that, haven't we? That Atma and Buddhi are the correspondences, the lower correspondences in the realm of Brahma to what can be found on the logoic and monadic planes. So, the normal disciple will not be given the permission to be an impressing agent until he receives triadal impression, which finally is, may I add, impression from Shambhala, as in a certain important sense, the spiritual triad is the personality of the monad. So, he has to receive triadal impression, which is impression ultimately from Shambhala, the home of monads, and he has to receive that, may I add, and he goes on, within the protective area or aura of the ashram with which he is affiliated. So it seems to me there is a special type of acute reception of impression that occurs once one can truly be incorporated within the ashram. Well, I would say following the third degree. There's quite a bit of difference. Between what a disciple can receive outside the ashram and what he can receive once he is truly transfigured, once he has truly passed into the ashram as a chela within the aura. And we might even say a group chela within the aura. And now some elaboration. It must be remembered, says DK, that this science of impression is in reality the science of thought form making, thought form vitalization, and thought form direction. We're learning so much here about the science of impression, which, as I said, is one of the major supporting sciences of the supreme science of contact. So here's an elaboration by the Tibetan, I suppose, about becoming an impressing agent. And by the way, this yellow statement is so important about the disciple not really allowed to become or to practice the art of impressing. Of course, one can go too far and begin to compromise the free will of the one he would impress. Master Morya tells us that the members of the hierarchy are not allowed to, how did he say it, hit the center of will. And the brothers of darkness, they focus in such a way as to compel the will of those they would have under their control. I think if we look at the battle for democracy, which will be global, of course, but right now is focused in the United States, there is much impression of the vulnerable and the gullible, much impression of them, which renders them rather helpless and brings them to a point of vulnerability and to instinctual telepathy. So, in fact, going on with decay, now, a little further, and only a disciple who has passed through the processes of transfiguration, now that's no longer just an accepted disciple. I mean, you can be accepted, an accepted initiate even, and have passed through the transfiguration process, but not necessarily. But once we have passed through the processes of transfiguration, we are within the aura of the ashram. Only the disciple who has passed through the processes of transfiguration and is no longer the victim of his own personality can be entrusted with so dangerous a cycle of powers. What is it in the rays and the initiations? Is it approximately page 678 talking about freedom from the ancient authority of the personality at the transfiguration initiation? This is, I think, a very similar kind of process that is being described. No longer the victim of the personality entrusted with so dangerous a cycle of powers. Well, there's kind of a, let's say, a recrudescence of the Civil War going on within the United States right now. And there are those who fancy themselves the rebels carrying the Confederate flag known as Stars and Bars. And that is because they have been impressed by powers that they cannot resist and cannot even really recognize. Now, going on a bit with DK, as long as there exists any selfish desire for selfish power, for unspiritual control, and that is what we find in this battle now, which will and is turning global. So as long as there exists any desire, says the Tibetan, for unspiritual control and influence over the minds of other human beings or over groups, the disciple cannot be trusted under the hierarchical rules with the deliberate creation of thought forms designed to produce special effects with their dispersal to men and groups. Okay, let's fill this in just a little bit. The processes of transfiguration towards which so many of the advanced aspirants of the time are looking towards. How many of us are, we can ask, the victim of our own personality? I kind of want to look here at the rays and the initiations. I don't know if my pagination will be correct. There are certain pages I do try to remember. And let's see. If any of this is any good, I'll show it to you. Yeah, it's not 678. It's just before 687. So what we can tie in with what we're discussing is the Transfiguration initiation, freedom from the ancient authority of the threefold personality, making a climaxing moment in the history of all initiates. I may interpose here that they have been initiates of the threshold. They have been probationary initiates before this time. But now, in the Transfiguration, they are within the aura of the ashram to which hitherto they were simply making application. This is a wonderful page, and it talks about the kinds of freedom which are achieved along that great ladder of initiation. Now, the one that we're most concerned with, or the ones, would be the baptism, freedom from the control of the emotional nature, and the selfish sensitivity of the lower self, and the Transfiguration, as I just read, but will read again, freedom from the ancient authority, it's very old, of the threefold personality, making this Transfiguration a climaxing moment in the history of all initiates. Now, certainly the majority of us has not experienced this, and even in the Alice Bailey group, there was no real experience of it, except, I think, in the case of Roberto Saccioli and Alice Bailey. Even Foster Bailey, at least a high probationary initiate, and I'm not in a position really to verify or not verify my estimation, but I don't think that he was a transfigured initiate. So that ancient authority of the threefold personality is banished, and the soul, the triad, the master, have taken its place. And now we are told the conditions under which we are trustworthy and not simply a hazard, until we really have passed the temptations in the desert, we are not trustworthy, until we are really within the ashram, which makes us at least a disciple of the great center Sirius, we are not trustworthy. Once we are within the aura, then we are trustworthy. Now, you sometimes wonder, with all of your good intentions and mine, why we should not be trusted. But DK knows that waves from the skandas of the past do come up and do destabilize the adherence of the disciple or discipleship group from the divine plan. And something unlawful may be attempted because of susceptibility to these waves or flows or whatever we want to call them. So DK summarizes, as long as there exists any desire for selfish power, okay, as long as there exists any desire for selfish power, for unspiritual control and influence over the minds of other human beings, or over groups, you know, as long as we seek to compel rather than to evoke cooperation, the disciple cannot be trusted under hierarchical rules with the creation of thought forms designed to produce special effects with their dispersal. So I'll just make these a little bigger. And you can question yourself. Okay. Well, it puts into question our own trustworthiness, even if we think we can be trusted. As I said, perhaps there are powers within us, skandhas, tendencies from the past, which can sweep us or sweep through us and cause effects which are not desirable. So I think it's better to be cautious. But after he has passed the tests of the Transfiguration, ending the ancient authority of the threefold personality and beginning to receive finally the light from the higher points of tension, even including the monad, then he can be trusted. And he may build and engage in deliberate creation of thought forms designed to produce special effects. Now, basically, DK has told us how fortunate we are that people's many thoughts sometimes of a very unsavory nature are not capable of materialization, yet the disciple cannot really materialize them. He doesn't know how. And how fortunate, DK says, humanity is because of that that case or that condition. So, I think we can see how important it is for us, most of us as probationary initiates, to become the true initiate, the transfigured initiate, so we can deliberately create thought forms which will have beneficent special effects and can be dispersed to men and to groups. Now, one cannot say that this will happen in this life. It can, if we look carefully at Initiation Human and Solar, page 84 and 85, we will see that strange and wonderful, though it may seem that the second, third, and fourth initiations can be taken in the same life, and probably will be, or in the next. That's a very rapid progress. Okay. Now, let's see. Apparently, this is a matter of great responsibility. Much harm can be done on a broad scale and is today being done as the rebellious dweller on the threshold of humanity, impressed by deliberately created thought forms of the counterforce, fights against the higher spiritual points of tension. I think this goes all the way to page, 91, and then even further, 94 signals the beginning of the new major subject about the normality of telepathic sensitivity. So we have to question our motives. And DK brings this up. Do we seek personal power over others? Or do we look forward to enhancing the true welfare of others through self-sacrifice? And I suspect that for many of us, it's kind of a mixture, and that we are experiencing mixed motives in this respect. DK says that the science of impression is the bedrock or foundation for the practice of telepathy. If a major world test were to be made, those receptive to impression would be found to fall in. Here we are. Okay, here we are. Okay. Now we'll see the extent to which we may go on, because I do have another program tonight. This is a short program. If I stop here, basically from page 86 to 88, and we look like we're into quite a new subject. So let's just see whether it pays to go on, which brings us. Another 3 pages. It could be extensive, and I'll ponder on that for a few moments. Okay, friends, actually, I have decided that this can be a shorter program. I have tonight the cosmic fire, and so we'll see when this can be resumed. But anyway, we've made it to page 88, and it's just a couple of pages, but that's okay. And we are coming to the point where we're talking about a major world test whose, if that were to be made, those receptive to impression would fall, be found to fall into two groups. So we'll resume that a little bit later. And right now, as usual, Tuya and I wish you well in all these matters of receiving the information that the Tibetan is making available to us, and everybody on the communications team, likewise, to be sure. So this will be sent out to you fairly soon, and BL and Joe and Harold will upload it, and Michael will send out to a special sendings group. So I'll say goodbye to you for right now. I think we're not really more than an hour this particular program, and then we'll see when it can be resumed with program number 35, Telepathy and the Etheric Vehicle video commentary. Okay, friends.